Mark chapter 10, verse number 17 through 22. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at this that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Our thought tonight would be rich, empty, and grieved. We're looking at a young man who knows what's going on in the church. Yeah. He knows, he's well aware of the right times to say amen. He's well aware of the right times to clap his hands. He knows when the minister says to turn to such and such a place in the Word of God, he can find it pretty quick.
Come on.
When the choir begins to sing the psalms, he knows the psalms.
Yes.
When the pastor looks a certain way or gestures a certain way, he knows what's fixing to happen. When Aunt Sally begins to testify, he knows she's fixing to tear out in the shout.
Yeah.
He's been there. He knows all about it. He's even been taught the law.
Yeah.
He's been taught the Word of God. And all of these things he has observed, meaning he has attended to them all his life, ever since he was young. I experienced something a few weeks ago. We went to a revival meeting, and first time in a long time that we was able to go and sit and listen to somebody preach. Usually with our schedule, we either preaching in prison or in churches, and my wife doesn't get to hear nobody preach hardly but me. So ask her if she ever hears any good preaching. But while the preaching was going on and the young man was preaching, the anointing of the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Amen.
I was somewhat on the edge of my pew listening. I didn't know what was going on behind me, but my wife seems to have more sensitive ears because she was sitting back and somebody was behind her talking. She thought it was adults. But directly I looked up ahead of me while I was listening to the preaching. This lady, I saw her turn around and do this to somebody. I knew she wasn't talking to me. Talking to somebody behind me. And whoever it was obviously, it was her daughter, looked to be mid to late teens, or even in her 20s. She was quite a good size. I don't know how old she was, but she just got up out of her seat, Mama did, and come out of that pew and come back there and said, "You're coming and sitting up here. You need to hear what he's having to say. You're not going to sit back there and talk." I thought that gal probably thought, "Mama, you're really embarrassing me." Brother Terry, I got to thinking about that if there's some mamas and daddies or grandpas in the house and their youngins are talking when the preaching's going on and carrying on, that's who's embarrassing me.
Yeah.
Because they won't do something about it.
Right.
But the point of the matter is, she heard something flowing over that pulpit. that she knew that child needed to hear. She thought, if my baby can just hear this word that's coming across that pulpit, then surely the Lord will have an opportunity to get a hold of her heart.
Yeah, right.
I tell you, we certainly need to know that our children are listening to the word of God.
Yeah.
A little fella asked me the other night in the church, he said, what do you want me to draw? I said, are you talking about during preaching? He said, yes, sir. I said, nothing. I know my old brother said, well, he's drawing what he pictures in his mind, you preaching. No, I want him listening.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want him doodling. I don't want him drawing. I don't want him playing. I want him sitting up hearing what God has to say. And that certainly should be a priority with every mama, daddy, guardian, whoever we are with children. That should be a priority. But the sad adventure of it all is, that's not the end of the road.
All right.
Because just because they listen, they've got to go a step farther. We've got to get them under our arm and nurture them outside of the house of God. And
yeah.
Bring them under our wing in the house and in the home. And say, look, you remember what the preacher preached the other day? Let me explain it to you how it works. And even better than that, may they see that living inside of us. When times are bad, they still see Christ living inside of us.
Yeah.
When times are good, they see Christ living inside of us. When mom and daddy don't agree, they still see Christ is the center focus of the situation. And they understand what mom and dad's got's real. What I'm learning in Sunday school is real. What that preacher's preaching about is real. And let us see Jesus. He is rich, but he's empty. He's rich in goods. He has great possessions. He doesn't have to ask him all for anything. He's got the money himself. He doesn't have to go to the bank to get a loan. He's got money. He is rich. But not only is he rich in financial means and all of these things, and Jesus is not asking him to pauper yourself to follow me. He's saying, I want you to clip that. That's priority in your life and come follow me. I'm wanting you to have a relationship that is beyond your possessions. But this young man, he is rich in knowledge. He's rich in understanding. You know, he knows everything about Moses climbing up Mount Sinai. He knows all about the Spirit of God moving and God's presence on that mountain. And it's a smoke. He knows all about how God wrote the Ten Commandments and put it on that stone. He knows all about how Aaron and them built an idol and worshipped. He knows all about the great delivering power of God with the children of Israel, bringing them out of bondage, bringing them across that Red Sea. He knows all about God bringing quail upon the ground and them eating and them manna from on high. He knows all about these things. How that the man of God, Daniel, could say, no way am I going to back up and not pray to my God. Cast me in the den of lions if you want to. Sunday school when I was a little feller, but I didn't learn it. I said, I didn't learn it.
All right.
I didn't even learn geometry in school because I was without Christ. How's that? What's that got to do with anything? Because my attitude was a stinking, and I wasn't listening to the teacher. But he was rich in knowledge, rich the gold of God's riches.
Yeah.
Of the wonderful things of service unto God is right there in his lap. But you'll notice Jesus didn't mention, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. He didn't mention, have no other gods before me. He didn't mention those commandments that dealt with relationship with God. He only dealt with those that deal with our relationship with one another. He said, I've observed all of these from my youth. I've learned them and I've done them. And I felt a burden upon my heart, brother pastor, of late. This is not the first time I've preached along these lines, but I felt a burden of late upon my heart. How many children are sitting on our pews that have a rich knowledge of the Word of God? How many children are coming up in our churches today that have a rich understanding of the ways of holiness, the ways of righteousness, the ways of godliness? They've learned, as I said already, how to sing the songs. They've learned how to dress the part. They've learned when to say yes and when to say no in the house of God. But there's an emptiness, there's a voidness deep down inside of their heart. When trouble comes, they don't know what to do with it. Mom and daddy's wondering what's going on. They're rich, but they're grieved because they do not have a relationship with God. They've got a relationship with the church. I said they've got a relationship with the church, but they do not have one with the Christ. Listen, folks, tonight, I'm calling on us to search our hearts, especially us, our youth, that was raised in the church. Cut your teeth on the pews. Amen. Brought up on your mama's well, toting you, singing the songs of Zion. Did you catch what she saw? Did you get what she shouted about? Did you understand it with the experimental knowledge that, hey, I've got what mama had, or I'm mimicking what mama had? Rich, empty, and greed. Great possessions mean nothing to us when following Christ is our priority. Great possessions. He was grieved. Jesus loved him. Jesus had mercy, had love and compassion for him. He realized. He's saying no. Yes, it's because he's got great riches. Inside of him is an emptiness that does not allow him to let go of these riches. Because inside of him was a knowledge, a rich knowledge of how to treat his neighbor. How to do good, to not steal, to not commit adultery, to not kill, to not lie, to not do any of these. Rich understanding, but lacking inside of him was putting no other gods before God. Yes. Lacking inside of him was loving the Lord. Jesus was asked, what is the first and greatest of all the commandments? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You'll never get to the second until you got to the first. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. One gospel writer said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. Everything is hanging right there. But listen, did he love the Lord? If he loved God with all of his heart, if he so lived and so observed the fact that God was first and God was priority, he recognized that Jesus was more than just a teacher. He called him good master. Jesus said, why you call me good? There's none good but God. What Jesus, I believe, was saying here, look, I believe you done spotted something in me to call me good. I believe you done recognize that I'm more than just a preacher. I'm more than just a rabbi or teacher. I believe you recognize this man is of God. I want to get my answer from him. I want to know what he has to say.
He's leaving grieved. I don't want to leave this house grieved tonight. I want to leave this house shouting. Cannot whine. And this is a place I want to encourage somebody tonight. While your children are home, while they're young, some way, somehow, don't leave everything to the Sunday school teacher. Don't leave everything to the preacher. Don't leave everything to the good services. To pull them in. Teach them the power of God in your living room. Teach them the zeal of God in your kitchen, Mama. Oh, you've heard the story. I can't remember who it was, what it was, of the child seeing the grandma or mama in the kitchen washing dishes. While she's washing dishes, she starts singing some old gospel song out of the hymn book, and all of a sudden, water starts a slanging. She starts a shouting across the floor.
Come on.
I might have heard that in a song. Where he's still in the fire. I think that's where I heard that about. That's where it was. And nevertheless, some way, somehow, we got to look into their souls and see, Brother Terry, if they just got a knowledge. Or they're getting a hold. You certainly cannot adventure into this area with your children if you let them do what they want to do in the church house. But I'm under the conviction tonight they do what they want to do at church because they do what they want to do at home. Some parents get in a dip because they can't make the kids behave when they're out at Walmart or out on the shopping center or at the church house. But the answer is, if you do that at home, they know how to do it for sure when they're among strangers. Hallelujah. Praise God for this parenting class tonight. Hallelujah. I'm looking at a young man. He is rich. He's empty, though. He's grieved. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. This shows the young man's not. Of course, he's before Christ's crucifixion. But bringing it to where we're at. At the point in time, if God speaks to us, sell your greatest possession. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. That's not a requirement for salvation. God doesn't ask us to sell anything. But sometimes God calls on us to let go of some things. That we may follow Him more earnestly. Follow Him less distracted. Follow Him to the depths of the earth. Follow Him wherever He may lead. So when, and if that time comes, are we rich not in just the understanding of God's Word, but rich in a relationship with Him?
Yes, come on.
That we can do that.
Yes. Come on.
I thank God, Brother Terry, that we can, now there's some churches we've been to, don't know if they're tolerated. You running down through the aisle.
Yeah.
Some churches, Brother Eugene, they were there, wouldn't have tolerated that. Straight jacket for this guy.
Yeah, you're right.
And holding like you just lost your marbles. And I'm not talking about nominal churches. Some holiness churches.
No doubt.
That are drying up.
Come on.
Drying up. Because you know what I believe is happening? A generation's coming into leadership that are rich in the knowledge.
Come on.
And when I say rich in knowledge, I'm not at all casting a stone toward knowledge in the Word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of God. You want faith to face the devil tomorrow, don't depend on a shout. Don't depend on how good you feel in the Lord's house. You depend on what thus saith the Word of God. I'm not throwing against the Word and the knowledge of the Word. What I'm talking about is having that knowledge and no experimental evidence of it in your life.
Come on.
And having no relationship with what that Word is. Because when that time comes that God would deal with our heart to do something great for Him, knowing all you need to know won't give you strength to do that.
Right.
He went away grieved.
Come on.
Because he was disappointed that he did not get what he came for. He would leave, bless your heart, if that's what it takes, I ain't going. I'm not going to have eternal life. I'll just sing along and be happy. No, he's grieved.
Right.
He's heartbroken.
Yeah.
Grieved is more than just a sad countenance. Grieved, you ever been grieved?
Yeah.
Grieved is just coming to a point. You're just before heaving and crying and weeping. Grieved is so much that the smile of a baby won't change your countenance. Amen. A gift from a friend won't change your countenance. $1,000 because a gift from somebody won't change your countenance. Grieved. Because he didn't get what he wanted, but he didn't have abiding in him what it took to get it. That's the message. That's the message. It's not so much that he loved riches more than he loved eternal life. But he was grieved because he did not have abiding in him.
All right.
What it took to lay it down. Because when he come running to Jesus, he's willing to do whatever he can do to have it. How many ever's come to a point in your life when you were proposed something that you really wanted to do and you couldn't do it? Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I remember, and I feel the same way sometimes with my guitar. I remember years ago, something they stick in your mind.
Come on.
There was this, I played the guitar with a quartet years ago, long back when I had lots of hair on my head, and I just started courting Miss Morgan. I sat way back in the back, we done did our singing, I guess, and somebody else was up there, and the band was playing, and they pointed to this fella playing the electric guitar and told him, in other words, take off with the lead part. He was strumming on that thing. He apparently didn't know how to pick lead. And he's shaking his head, don't be looking at me. I'm sure he wanted to take that lead part and let everybody hear how good he could just bend the strings and everything. But he couldn't. He didn't have in him what it took to do that. My wife was asked to close in prayer one night when we were courting. That night she apparently didn't have it in her. She thought it never happened all my life. Seeing a girl be asked to dismiss in prayer.
Yeah.
Sister Angie dismisses in prayer. She said, let us all pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even as nervous as a cat. Let us all pray.
Yeah.
She didn't have the forwardness, the boldness
right. Activated.
It caught her off guard. It caught this young man off guard. Suppose he'd been forewarned. You know, Jesus is going to say this and that. You know, let me see if I can get all this together. But listen, God's not giving us that opportunity. When God knocks on our heart's door, He's catching us just like we are.
Yes,
I don't want to leave this service. I don't want to leave this life.
Come on.
Rich, but empty and grieved.